Well, good afternoon, good morning, and good evening. Whatever time of the day it is that you're listening to this program, welcome to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. And boy, I know I owe everybody out there an apology. It's been way too long and way too much has been happening for me to just be coming on now. I understand that, but you know what? Sometimes life gets in the way. Right now, I'm not making the big bucks in this podcast. That's right now. Hopefully one day that's different. But suffice to say, I'm just coming off the road because I wanted to get more. There's so much been happening. I don't want to just be my voice and opinion. Got to have Matt on for this to get another opinion on what the Eagles have done. I think we're both kind of on the same page on most of it, if not all of it. But nevertheless, we need more than one, you know, for the Eagles and how we have been busy since day one through free agency. I had a feeling and I predicted that it would be that way, not knowing who he would bring in, but I knew the Eagles would be aggressive, and Howie has not disappointed. By the way, really quick before I bring Matt on, this is episode 198, as we are closing in on 200 episodes of Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. And one other plug, again, reminder about the YouTube channel, which is launched. All of the last like 4 or 5 episodes have been on YouTube, so make sure, if you haven't already, go over there and subscribe. The channel is exactly the same as it is on the platform you're listening on. So Philadelphia Eagles Talk, W/Jeff. Find it on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe because there's a lot, and that's where the future of this podcast will be. Like I said, it will still be on these platforms that you're currently listening on. However, the future of Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff is audio and video of the podcast. So you want to make sure that you jump on subscribe and be ready so that you're notified and ready to rock and roll and be able to integrate and engage with us live via chat once that YouTube channel officially launches. So now, since that's all around and are finished with, let's bring Matt on because we got to congest a lot and a little bit of time here. Matt, welcome back to the podcast. And where do we start? I don't really have an agenda today. It's just to catch up and talk about all of these Eagles moves. So why don't you kick it off? Where do you want to start?
Well, I want to start with free agency. So I think that's the bulk of what we have to talk about. And just, from my mindset, I kind of think about winning the offseason, right? That's never a good thing. For all the awful teams that I've watched and lived and locally, like the Commanders of the last 10 seasons and stuff, and the Cleveland Browns for decades, like, we're winning the offseason. We got our guys. So as happy and joyous I'm going to sound today in most of what Howie has done in rebuilding a roster once again, it's different. It's not like we're only winning the offseason and losing during the season. So I'm not, you know, everything has to be played out on the field rather than on paper. But I just think as we get into this, like, what a major – this Howie has not done this before. He's gotten us out of the Wentz contract. He made trades when some people were still 50-50 on Wentz. But it was bold back then. Fixed the team, got us out of a bad deal. We're never in bad cap situations, by the way.
Right.
In Howie's years, we always figure out a way to spend money, and that may mean that we do say goodbye to beloved Eagles greats. This year, they just happen to be retiring instead of being traded away.
Right. Definitely freed up some additional cap space for Howie.
Yeah, but before we talk about the individual players and signings, though, I just think right off the bat, Howie deserves a big-time amount of credit because obviously he is listening to the coaches and getting the ingredients in the cabinet switched out for new ingredients. That's my overall take.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Yep. Defensively especially because they're going to be switching to a 3-4 format, which the Eagles haven't done, I think, maybe since Corey Simon. I can't remember the last time they had a 3-4. Hollis Thomas, it's been a while.
Right, and I think they did it with Bill Davis as the defensive coordinator that year when we plucked him from the Browns during Chip Kelly's era because Andy Reid always had a 4-3.
Yeah, he was like the wide nine guy, wasn't he?
Which one?
Wasn't he the wide nine defense, which is kind of similar to the 3-4?
Wide nine. So, yeah, could have been with Jason.
Tabin. What was his name? Jason Tabin.
Naven with the.
Naven, yeah.
I don't recall if that was late Andy Reid, though, before.
I remember. The point is, it's been a long time since we've gone 3-4. Yeah. It's been a while.
Bill Davis was the DC when we ran a 3-4.
Yeah.
But we've never run it successfully in Philly. So we'll see what Vic Fangio can do. He's been successful everywhere he's been. And clearly, Howie is following both on offense and defense that the OC and DC's recommendations. So I don't even think. I'm not even sure Nick – I think Nick is allowing his coordinators to have a lot of input here, which I think is good. That's what you want in a head coach.
Well, I mean, that's basically what the Eagles brass did to Sirianni, was basically stripped him of all his power except to oversee things. So it doesn't sound like Nick, at least from the outside – who knows, you know, nobody's on the inside of the walls. But at least from the outside perspective, it seems like Nick is just kind of there to, you know, manage everything and let the coaches coach, and they're the ones really pulling the strings.
Well, the best leaders do that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The best leaders get out of the way, and they let the people that they brought on board do their thing.
Agree. Yeah, I totally agree. So, all right. Yes, Howie's been definitely aggressive. Now let's talk about the moves that he's made. Now, I'm trying to remember, last time I had you on, we talked about the first day, right? Didn't we talk about Barkley and Alfaretti? I believe we did. I could be wrong about that.
Not sure. I'm not sure.
Let me double check. Give me a second here, because I don't want to, for the sake of the audience, really, repeat. So let me just double check here. When was my last episode?
I believe we talked about the signings of the coaches and the turnover on the coaching side, but I'm not sure we talked about free agents.
Maybe only I did. It's possible. Let me see.
We talked about the windows open and closed for certain players.
Okay, so I guess I didn't have you on. It looked like I definitely talked about Saquon, but I'm not sure I had you on that podcast. That was 9 days ago. Wow, this is the longest I've been. Again, apologize. You know, life happens sometimes. It's been 9 days since my last podcast. So with everything going on, I should have been on much, much sooner, but it is what it is. So, okay, let's just start. Let's talk about Barkley then. You know, let's get a quick, we'll go through everybody. So start with Barkley. Well, he was the big cheese name on day one of free agency. The Eagles wasted no time. It was shortly after DeAndre Swift signed with the Bears. Not too soon after that, Barkley was an Eagle.
Yep.
And I already talked at length about the fact that I had to apologize for my audience because I said there's no way that's happening. I was basically saying don't read into this nonsense that happens every year. But Howie, as you mentioned earlier, went off the grid, went off track a little bit, totally off his trend and what he typically does, and brings in Barkley. So go ahead.
180 degrees, Howie made us eat crow on that. But if we're studying the trends of how the Eagles have been with Howie, that was the information. Then I did start to hear a little bit of local media information from some sources that were saying, like, yeah, the Eagles are truly interested in Barkley. And I'm like, nah. And then I read the article and I'm like, maybe, but then that means Howie has to have a complete 180. But that's apparently what happened.
That's what he did.
Barkley, the big if on him is just if he stays healthy. If he does, Eagles will dominate the NFC East with Barkley running behind a much better line than he's ever had in his career.
Yeah.
And Kellen Moore knows how to use Barkley in the passing game. So with those two things, with the bigger if being, well, Barkley better stay healthy and stay on the field. But,
he's a three-down back since we haven't had a really legit three-down back since LeSean McCoy. But here's a guy, Barkley, is going to be on the field all three downs now.
I'm not so sure about that, though, because I don't know if they want to keep his workload light so that he stays healthy. So they might still be splitting time with him and Gainwell at certain times. But the great thing is they don't have to change up their offense. So they can run.
Well, they better not pull that nonsense of having Gainwell inside the red zone again with Barkley, because that is going to really piss off the fans.
Yeah, I don't think Moore would be that type of guy. I think Moore would be, let's run the ball straight up the gut.
Or just keep Barkley in there. I mean, if nothing else, he's a decoy when you're in red zone.
Yeah, but either way, either way, I think they're going to spell Barkley way more than he's ever been spelled before, like on the Giants, because they want him healthy, right?
Okay, that's true, but there's really not a lot of depth on the Eagles for running back. All they have right now is Barkley and Gainwell. That's it.
Yeah, bring back Rashad Penny so he can ride Pine.
I don't think you'd come back to the Eagles after they totally railroaded him last season.
No, they'll pick up somebody or they'll draft somebody. They'll
probably they may use a late draft pick on a running back. I could see.
Yeah. I think other than linebacker, Howie has always kind of stocked people in that position, even running back. He's had Boston Scott's, he's had Penny on the bench. He'll fortify that some way, either at the end of free agency or in the draft if they have to. They'll find somebody to be that number three guy. Right now, I think they just have a couple of camp bodies that might be there, but I don't expect anybody beyond Gainwell to really make the roster unless they make a push in training camp. But I think Barkley's a great pickup, and he's not really all that expensive. He's really not compared to other big contracts that are out there. So 3 years, $37 million, I think.
Yeah, and the Eagles can get out of it after 2 years if they want to, if they need to. So
it's a great deal. Yeah. Howie never leaves us. He never leaves us void of money. He's always thinking we need money in 2 years. We need money in 3 years, and so he doesn't like the Cowboys right now are completely strapped because of
Dak. Oh, they haven't been able to do anything. And actually, right now, even after all these moves, Eagles have made all these signings, they are currently right now. I don't know if this is even true. I can't validate it, but I definitely heard it more than one source, and my sources are Sirius Radio, NFL Channel, the NFL Channel on there, which is a pretty good source. And I think I might have read it somewhere, not on like social media, but on like a CBS Sports line or something. Both said that they have the fourth most cap space. I'm like, how's that even possible? But
I think I think it's because of Kelce and Cox.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah. All right. So that's it. We'll move on from Barkley because I know, again, we're short on time. So I'm not going to go in any really certain order either. I'm just going to talk about the addition. So the next one I want to talk about is the linebacker from the 49ers, Oren Burks. And I'll give you my 2 cents on him, and then I'll throw it over to you. Here's what I like about this move. Number one, getting any linebacker from the 49ers, I think, is a good move. I don't care if the guy was a starter or not, because he was playing and under the tutelage of, you know, who I think is the best linebacker in the league, Fred Warner. And obviously Greenwood is a great linebacker as well. Is it Greenwood? That's his name, right? Greenwood? Green something. Greenwell? Greenwood? The other linebacker they have there. And he was their number one linebacker off the bench. So when neither one of those guys got hurt, Burks was the guy that came in, including the playoff game when Greenwell. Am I getting it wrong? Is Greenwell or Greenwood?
I think it's Greenlaw.
Or Greenlaw. That's right. Thank you. I knew it was Green something.
It's like our fans out there, like and subscribe on the YouTube channel. We'll be able to get some money to pay for that guy to help us along here.
Yeah, you guys in the chat will be able to say, it's Greenlaw, jackass.
We need that guy. Yep.
Exactly. And I would encourage that because I hate nothing more than not remembering a guy's full name. So anyway, Green.
I'm pretty sure it's Dre Greenlaw.
Greenlaw. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So that's the guy I was thinking of. Thanks, Matt. And so Burks was the number one guy off the bench and played in that playoff game when Greenlaw went out. So to me, that's a guy that's pretty in high favor of the 49ers, and we know how good their linebackers are. He's now an Eagle. So those are my thoughts. What are yours on Oren Burks?
Well, I like him. His name, I was familiar with his name. So I'm like, okay, I know that. I know that's a San Francisco linebacker. He's got special teams experience as well. So they don't have to maybe, I believe they signed him to be one of those four linebackers on the field. I'm curious to see how they're going to use Nolan Smith in this type of 3-4 package, but another guy that has experience playing. I almost 100% agree with you. Any linebacker that's coming from that San Francisco defense right now who was able to play with and watch those guys, Greenlaw and Fred Warner on the field, is just, you know, what better models to follow? You know, that's a 4-3 defense that San Francisco plays, so. But I think Vic Fangio knows what he likes in a linebacker.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether they use him to cover or use him to rush and play the run, I don't know. You know, we'll see. But I'm not disappointed with that signing. And they needed to get linebackers from somewhere. So if you're going to somebody, get them from the Niners.
Right. Not on the same page. We might as well merge over to talking about Zach Bond, who they grabbed from the Saints. He was another guy that was kind of a backup / starter. Same realm of Burks in terms of what he did for the Saints. He's a guy that the only thing I can tell you about Bond is I remember when he came out of the draft reading up on him, and he was one of those guys that was like a sleeper, or a lot of the feedback that I read on him was that he was like whoever drafted him would be not only smart, but would be kind of getting like a guy under the radar type player. So, so Zach Bond, that's pretty much all I know about him. I didn't watch him with the Saints. I can't give you any update as far as how he's been in the league, other than he's just been kind of like a backup, sometimes starter with the Saints. I think it's definitely worth. I can see why the Eagles want to bring him in here. Worth taking a look, especially when as thin as we are at linebacker. Give him a shot and see what he's got. And that's my take on Bond. How about yours?
It's basically the same thing on Bond. I don't know much about him. And I just put my faith in Howie here to say these guys that he's bringing in for 1, 2, 3 year contracts, it's never going to make us sell out for somebody. That's an unknown. So if it's something that doesn't work out, you know, it's no worse than the linebackers that we've drafted so far in the last 5 years that haven't panned out to be anything. So right. He's kind of in that category for me. I'd love to see something special come out of him, but I have no expectations really.
Yeah. And both of these guys are young, so they're not like, you know, a Cunningham or, you know, some of these guys that the Eagles have brought in the past that have been kind of older and past their prime. So
I will say I'd rather have a young Zach Bond on the field versus the linebacker from the Colts that they signed last year.
Leonard? Unfortunately, with that guy with his injuries, but he can't play anymore.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. So they tried and they died.
Yeah. So. All right, well, the next one definitely got my juices going because it's a guy that I was hoping, I never really thought that he would come back, but he's back, and that is C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So I think the Eagles, I love having him back for one main reason, his attitude. I'll give you two reasons. I love his attitude. You know, he's feisty, he's fiery. And the second reason, and this is not in order of importance, is he is a ball hawk. The Eagles struggled in turnovers last year, and CJ gets turnovers. So welcome back, CJ. And I'm ecstatic to have him back. 3-year contract with the Eagles, so he's here semi-long term now. And so what's your take on CJ?
Well, we know what we're getting with CJ, and whether it's a 3-4 base or 4-3 base, the nickelbacks and cornerbacks – aren't really tied to that type. You know, if a D-line and linebacker's able to get pressure, then CJ's going to pick off some passes for sure. If they don't, he still might pick off some passes. Right. Guy moves fast, he's fluent, and he's inspirational on the field, which they were truly lacking at the end of last season. If BG wasn't talking, nobody else was.
Right.
I suppose Cox was kind of there too, but CJ...
But they're not in the secondary either. You know, they're more up front guys. Right. I mean, they're on the defense and they're leaders, but... He's back there with those guys that struggled so badly last year.
Yeah. So we know what we're getting in CJ. Love the move to bring him back. I do want to just throw my cuff back in there, right? So the other linebacker from the Jets that we signed before.
No, we haven't got to him yet.
Oh, you're still waiting on him. Okay.
I thought we were going. You're jumping ahead.
All right. I won't jump ahead. So CJ Gardner.
Yeah. Maybe you thought that I was grouping all the linebackers together. But yeah, I had those just the two at the one time. Yeah, I'm getting tough.
Okay.
Next up is Matt Hennessy, and you mentioned how, you know, Howie and Nick both listen to their coaches. Hennessy, you have to think, has got slipped my mind. You gotta help me out here. What's the offensive line coach?
Jeff
Stoughton. Yeah. You know, Stoughton approves of this guy if he's here. So plus Driscoll just recently signed with the forget which team he went to, Colts or something like that. I forget where he went. No, he went to Miami Dolphins. So Driscoll's gone. Hennessy's in. Offensive lineman. Missed off last year with an injury. Coming from the Falcons as a 1-year deal with the Eagles. Any thoughts? I don't know much about him otherwise. But what do you know about Matt Hennessy?
Plenty of football playing years ahead of him, which I like. And like you said, he comes to Jeff Stoutland University. And Howie always will take a risk on an injury player.
Yeah.
Which I like. I like it. You know, they haven't always panned out for us. In fact, probably most often they don't, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't keep trying to pull these guys out. If Hennessy missed all last year, You know, he's what if he's at least as good as Driscoll to be our backup, you know, swing tackle and, you know, utility lineman, then fantastic. You know, they're going to draft a couple more linemen anyway, so he'll always have somebody to work with. Plus, Steen, you know, is up and coming, so he's probably bringing in a camp body to battle it out with some of these young guys that they drafted last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, and he's another versatile guy that could play more than one position too, which, as we know, Stoutland always likes those type of guys.
Yeah, and you have to believe that if they signed a free agent lineman, that Stoutland had something to say about that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I mentioned that earlier. Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt that whenever they're even thinking about bringing in an offensive lineman or drafting one, that it's got to get Stoutland's stamp of approval before they bring him in here. So there's no question that that process took place. All right, next up, you mentioned him a short while ago. Bryce Huff signed a 3-year deal, $51 million. So here's a guy who's only a part-time starter, only played about 50-something percent of the plays with the Jets, but had over 10 sacks. So very productive player. And Eagles totally committed to this guy, even though he's not a full-time starter. 3 years, $51 million at linebacker and rushing end. Your take on Bryce Huff. I like the move, no doubt. But it is a lot of money for a guy who's never played full-time.
It's a lot of money, which means they've got a lot of confidence in him to be able to play. But that also in those interior defensive linemen, because who's the guy in the middle with the Jets? The big force. Can't remember his name. Gosh.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
He's an equivalent Chris Jones, basically. Like, he's not as good as Chris Jones, but he's right up there with him.
Wilkerson or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
We'll let the fans. This is a fan participation
yeah,
show.
Yeah, see, once we're on YouTube, we'll get the chat invade. Yeah, that'll help.
Throw his name in the comment box. But you know, that Huff provided a lot of rush from the edge there. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with Reddick and these other guys, but it looks like, you know, the Eagles are always saying the same thing. As long as Howie and Jeff Lurie have owned this team, they want fastballs to just continue. Andy Reid was the same mindset. Just keep getting fastballs to throw that defensive line so that we can rush and keep everybody fresh, right? That's why Josh Sweat is still here. That's why Reddick hasn't been traded away. And that's why they drafted Nolan Smith. So they've got plenty of this outside edge rusher ability from the linebacker spot, whether they put their hand down or they rush from standing up. Like, Huff fills that role. And out of all the people that were free agents, you know, the only other guy that was living up to his stats was Brian Burns, the defensive end that went to the Giants.
Right, for a lot of money, too. $150 million, and they traded for him.
Yeah, and Howie always seems to be wanting to sign these young guys. He, you know, if there's any fault of Howie, sometimes he gives up on a player as they age, like he did with Dawkins.
Too soon, yeah.
Yeah, just a shred too soon. But otherwise, though, he's always looking for the young up-and-comer. So I'd rather do that. And Howie gives these folks opportunities to prove themselves, and he doesn't tie us into, again, financial.
And he gives them a lot of money.
Yeah. Yep. So, and the one shocking thing was, okay, that's a lot of money to pay for a rush linebacker or rush end. I'm not sure what position he's exactly going to play with the Eagles in that 3-4, but either way, I think they're paying him for the pass rush. So he will be.
Yeah, there's no doubt that's what they're paying him for. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the one there. So I assume these other linebackers are.
Well, I think he's the reason why Hassan Riddick is probably on his way out, is the Huff signing, you know, and the fact that they decided to keep Sweat, you know. I think that is two indications, plus Nolan Smith, ready to get more playing time, that I have a feeling that Riddick is probably heading out, which I don't like necessarily. I'm like, the Eagles have enough cap space. Why not keep him here? The problem is, he wants more money, and honestly, he probably deserves more money based on the contract he signed. He's well underpaid versus all of, like, the other top pass rushers in the league. So you can see why he wants more money. But the Eagles, he's, you know, you mentioned 30 years old, and Howie, he's at 30 years old. How much more does he have left in the tank? Me, I would just, he's under contract. I would say play another year, and then he can go somewhere. But he could, you know, threaten to sit out. You don't want to have an unhappy player on your team for team chemistry purposes and stuff like that. So it's a little risky. It does seem like he's on his way out here if the Eagles get a good offer.
Yeah, that one will be interesting to watch. I don't think Howie's going to budge on money because there's 2 years left in his contract, right?
It's just one. Like, this is last year. This is it.
This is last year.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would throw, yeah, I would, you know, they just restructured Josh Sweat, gave him some more signing bonus money, and then, you know, extended. So,
well, he took a pay cut, though.
Took a pay cut.
They, what they did, was they guaranteed his contract because he didn't have any guaranteed money heading into the season. So that's what they did. He what the deal the Eagles made with him and his agent were, okay, we'll guarantee you $10 million. He was making $16 million, and he wasn't, had none of that was guaranteed this year. So they guaranteed $10 million, and then he had to, but he had to agree to take a $6 million pay cut, and that's what he did.
Gotcha.
That's what happened.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how that plays out then with Reddick. You know, I hope he stays.
Me too. I do too.
But we'll see if you know, in draft day, a lot of things are going to move. He might be one of those players that moves on draft day.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yep. Or you have him play, and then as the trading deadline approaches this year, you know, let's just say the Eagles maybe are, I don't know, it'd be tough if the Eagles are a contender to let him go. But depending on what the scenario is between them and other teams that are looking for a pass rusher, thinking that that's the difference between them and the Super Bowl, you might get a better offer at that time at the trade deadline for Reddick, and then the Eagles decide to let him go then. You know, could be something
it's
like
hard.
That.
It's hard to see the Eagles not being a contender this year because I don't think any of the other teams improved.
The only one that did was the Washington team, but they were so bad that, okay, even though they improved, what are they, 500 now maybe? I mean, they're making a lot of aggressive and good moves. I like what they've done. We'll talk about them at a later time, but I think they've done a lot, and they've got a lot more. They got like 12 picks, I think, in this draft, including a lot of them, and I think six or seven of them are within the top like 50 players. So,
and they'll get a quarterback, but right now their backup or starter for the beginning of the season is Marcus Mariota. So I
that's true.
Struggling behind their rookie line, but their offensive line still sucks. So
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I don't see much improvement going on. But anyways, back to the Eagles. We have to see how this somehow plays out on draft day. Any other free agents?
Next up, Devontae Parker, who signed a one-year deal with the Eagles. Here's a guy who's always had the talent. He was a top, I think, 10 draft pick when he came out, something like that. But he's never really took the league by storm at all. He's had a couple of good years, 1,000-yard seasons. But other than that, he's been injured a lot and never really was able to find his mark or make his mark in the league. He's been bounced around to many teams. And now he's an Eagle, last with the Patriots last year. A guy who's going to be our three, so goodbye to Watkins. And Parker's going to be the number three, more than likely, or I don't know, he'll be the top depth guy, I guess, beyond Brown or Smith, because he's more of a kind of a downfield wide receiver than he is a slot. Either way, he's a depth guy, experienced, and he's here for at least a year. So what are your thoughts on Devontae Parker?
I think he can play football, that's for sure.
Yep, and, experience.
You know, yeah, I don't think he's lost any steps or anything. He's not that old. And the Eagles are probably the best team that he's played on so far in his career. So we'll see. It'd be interesting to see how they use him. Maybe they're I think a lot will be telling in what they do at tight end, right? If they sign another tight end or if they draft another tight end high, then maybe Parker becomes a backup. If not, maybe he just fills in that Julio Jones kind
of. I was just going to say that. You just took the words out of my mouth. He could be filling in the Julio Jones role, guy who could fight for the ball in the red zone. Yeah. Yep. Lastly, I think it's last, maybe not. The Eagles have made so many moves. Almost last. Kenny Pickett. We'll touch on him really quick. The Eagles basically gave up a third, I think it was a third rounder, to get him from the Steelers. I believe it was the third round. Guy grew up an Eagles fan, so that's always kind of cool. Struggled pretty badly, according to Steeler fans. They're not shedding any tears that he's gone. But
They were chanting for Mason Rudolph about five games in the last season.
Yeah, so he really struggled. Now, they also had a horrible offensive lineman that they ended up firing in Pittsburgh, so you don't know if that played into his struggles. Either way, guy who's looking for a fresh start, he's on a team that he rooted for growing up, so he's got to be excited about that. And he understands that he's not the number one guy, and I think he's proved that he can win games in this league. So we'll see. Kenny Pickett, what are your thoughts?
Well, either Pittsburgh's going to be right about him, he's a head case, or he is a talented quarterback who just I think it's a rare thing to get a quarterback who's going to start games and do well right from the start. Right? Look at all of them. It's very rare.
Yeah, Jordan, most struggle. Most of them struggle. Yeah.
Yeah. Jordan Love finally started for Green Bay, but he had so many years riding behind Aaron Rodgers, and so he has the season that he has, which is excellent first year.
Yeah.
But some of these guys, you know, Daniel Jones, David Carr.
Yeah, they're like 21 years old coming in.
Yeah, Bryce Young versus C.J. Stroud. Like, one of them has an offensive line. The other one didn't. Yeah, and if you don't have an offensive line as a rookie quarterback, what are you supposed to learn?
And the Steelers had a terrible offensive line.
Yeah. Right. You're going home, like, bloodied and bruised every day. So it's like the coaches can tell you all the things they want to about what you should see. But if you're not able to stand in that pocket and deliver –
Yeah. So your point is, as long as he wasn't completely effed up being in Pittsburgh, getting his ass killed, and, you know, because that's what happens to quarterbacks. They lose their confidence. And once your confidence goes, I don't care if you're a first-round pick or eighth-round pick, once you lose your confidence in the league, you're done. And it's hard to get it back. I mean, I won't say you're done. Very few get it back. And maybe it's good for him to get out of there now. Maybe he hasn't been undergone too much damage psychologically or physically. And he can get a fresh start here and without the pressure of being the number one quarterback, playing for his hometown, you know, home team favorite. And I think it's worth the reason why the Eagles did this was monetary reasons. They always like to have a proven backup quarterback that they don't have to pay a lot of money to. And that's what they were able to do with Pickett.
Yep. They've got an experienced young guy. But the funny thing with Pickett is he's still got huge ceiling.
Right. So, he does.
Yeah, he's got I hope they keep Tanner as well because Tanner
I agree. I don't want to I definitely want to see more of him. Yeah.
Yep. So, I don't think they're paying Pickett too much money, but I don't want to see them let go of Tanner cuz he reminds me of like Tom
Brady. Pickett's making $2 million for the next couple of years. So, really bargain cheap for a number 2 quarterback. Yeah. Which is why the Eagles did it cuz people are saying, "Well, why the Eagles trade for Pickett and not Fields from Chicago?" Because Fields is his next club option is $15 million. That's why. That's why they didn't do it.
It's the mentality that they had when they drafted Hurts behind Wentz. If Wentz played good enough to keep his job, Hurts wouldn't be on the field. Hurts would have moved on.
Right.
And they would have been another guy.
Right.
But Wentz ended up cracking completely under the pressure.
Right.
And but they were all – Howie knows that if you sign a talented player that's on their rookie deal – you are saving money and can build championship teams year after year.
Exactly. Yeah. And you have a guy that needs to step in for a game or two, can win a game.
Yep. Yeah. So I love what they do at the quarterback position almost every year. I love it.
Now, I'll move on to the next guy, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on him unless you have something insight on him, but I don't. I don't even know when they made this signing, actually. Maybe this was today. They signed a defensive tackle, P.J. Mustafa. I have no idea who he is. I'll have to do some read-up on him. Do you know anything about him?
So he's from the Broncos, right? Wasn't he a former Bronco?
I don't know. Like I said, maybe you know. You probably know more than I do. I don't.
Yeah, I believe that's probably a Vic Fangio choice right there, because if you're switching to a 3-4, you need these bigger, thicker, mobile bodies on that defensive line. So they've got one thick body in Jordan Davis.
Right.
Carter is a little bit – I don't know if you would call him undersized for a 3-4 defensive.
He's like Jerome Brown. He's not huge, and but he's athletic, and, you know, he's kind of slender for a tackle.
Yeah, very athletic, but usually those guys do great in 4-3 schemes, like John Randall, Jerome Brown. Those were 4-3.
Right.
That was the Buddy Ryan. What was his defense? I can't even think of it now.
46,
thank you. Yeah, it was 4 down linemen, right? Which is not too different from 4-3, right? But the so we'll see. I'm curious. I think he's going to keep moving pieces around. I think that signing is just to add another body to see who's going to be able to hack this 3-4 defensive and make it work for him.
Right. And they did lose Cox, so there was a little bit of a depth issue there. So
They need a couple. They may even sign one or two more guys or draft a couple.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. We know the Eagles drafted the Lion first. All right. Lastly, Devin White, the guy who 2 years in the league looked like he was like the next coming, and then has really struggled the last couple of years, including all the way to the point of getting benched last season. So he really fell off out of favor, I should say, with the Buccaneers. And Howie's like, you know what, with our linebacker depth, let's bring this guy in here. And definitely has athletic ability. I guess his main issue has been, I guess he just kind of goes off script a little too much, and that ticked off the Buccaneers enough that they benched him. So he can't do that here either, but maybe with a fresh start, you know, they can find, he can rekindle his promising sophomore year in the league, where he had 9 sacks. That's his strength, by the way, is pressuring the quarterback. He's a really good blitzer. I guess he's pretty decent in coverage too. I saw a stat where he, I think his completions percentage against him was like 64 or 65% for a linebacker, which is pretty good. It ranked one of the top. He was in like the top 10 for coverage linebackers, so pretty good there. So your thoughts on Devin White?
So when I first heard the name, I'm like, oh, I remember that because I watch every draft every year. So I'm like, oh, that guy was.
Yeah, he was a top 5 pick. I think he was 5th. Yeah.
And then, like you, I started reading about him, doing some research, and I'm like, the thing that worries me is he does have a good defensive coach there in Tampa and the defensive-minded head coach in Todd Bowles, who's excellent and knows defense.
Right.
So if they're saying that this guy's rogue and isn't paying attention to his assignments, then they're probably right. So
yeah, I agree. That's why it's a little concerning. I'm not as excited to hear exactly what you said for the reasons you said and what I mentioned earlier. I'm not as excited as when this news first hit the page. I was like, yes, Devin White. Yes, we got a linebacker, you know? But I'm like, as I kind of looked into him more, I'm like, yeah, well, I'm going to have a wait-and-see approach now with him.
Right. And part of me is like, yay, we're signing linebackers.
Well, yeah, that's a positive. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be amazing for Eagles fans to watch the middle of the field, the 8-yard pass, finally be defended, maybe.
And, you know, under the radar, this Van Sumeren guy, he actually played pretty well in the short times that he was in there. So I'm interested in what the Eagles may have found in him, because he's a pretty big guy and he's pretty fast. And what I saw, he looked decent. He didn't look out of place. And I'm not saying the guy's going to be a star, but I kind of liked what I saw a little bit from him last year.
I agree with that too. I saw more out of that guy in his limited time than I saw out of N'Kobe Dean in all the time that he had before he got again.
Yeah, I would say that too. Yep.
Yeah. And you got to give the young guy, because he was like 4th string. They pulled him out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. He was an undrafted free agent. Yeah, he was not. He wasn't even drafted.
Like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
And
he's big. He looks athletic and big. You know, I would give this guy a little more playing time. Hopefully they give him a lot of preseason and really take a close look at him. And obviously you mentioned N'Kobe Dean, and we both said in our last podcast that we did together that, you know, it's put up or shut up time with him.
It really is. So, and I don't know where he fits in the 3-4 defense. You know, I back to what do I know about 3-4 defenses? And in the mid-90s, where you had Greg Lloyd and Kevin Green coming off the edge, you had Joey Porter, a guy like Joey Porter in the middle, and then a guy like Carlos Emmons to cover tight ends, right? So, like, those 4 linebackers all played on the field at the same time one year. And I'm like, they're all pros at what they're supposed to do on the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Vic Fangio is trying to look for that.
Well, that's, I think, what a 3-4 scheme will help versus a 4-3, because really the 4-3, the middle linebacker, is usually a bigger, bulkier guy, like a Trotter or a Levon Kirkland. You know, or a Sam Mills, even though he wasn't, you know, big, he was stouty, and you know, Singletary and all those guys. So this will play into N'Kobe Dean's strengths more, because he's an undersized linebacker.
It will. Plus, Vic Fangio is a schemer, right? So he can scheme ways to use that 3-4 defense, the 3-down linemen, and, you know, dog blitzes off the edge with the linebackers to kind of free up N'Kobe to possibly get some sacks coming through the middle. Like, I'm just curious to see. I mean, that will be one of the most exciting things to watch this season, is Vic Fangio's defense on that field and how he's going to use these pieces. Because I believe it'll be the exact opposite of Gannon's defense, which was bend and don't break, but nothing too exciting is going to happen if there's no pressure on the court. And this one will be different. This one will be schemed smarts playing out on the field to out coach and out, and if he linebacker play out the Eagles could be above average. Like, they should be definitely in the top half of defenses this year. Maybe not top 10, but I would expect them to fall somewhere in between top 11 to 15. If things
hopefully,
right.
Keep in mind, there may not be any Reddick here. There's some transition going on in the defensive line, obviously in linebacker and even in secondary. So there's a lot of changes, but you're right. There's an experienced coach coming in. Hopefully he's able to make adjustments more, because Gannon was actually a good coach. And even though his scheme was not, you know, exciting, it was effective. The Eagles had a top five defense. The problem with Gannon was he was not good at adjustments. And certainly the cost is big time in the Super Bowl. His unwillingness to or inability to adjust. So I think that was what his weakness was, primarily. And then obviously the disaster of last year, that goes without even saying. And then, you know, so we got an experienced guy back in here with a totally different defensive scheme. And you would think with his experience would have the ability and knowledge to be able to make adjustments if this team is, you know, having some issues, you know, during the game at halftime, you know. So,
yep.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a lot of question marks, but at least a lot of them been answered. Like, we know we got some linebackers in here now. You know, we'll see how he's going to do in a draft. Will he actually draft a young linebacker, or not young, but I mean, you know, draft a new linebacker? We'll see. I think he should mostly, and we talked about this, mostly draft defense in this draft. But it wouldn't surprise me if they go and get another offensive lineman that one, or a backup tight end, something like that, or even a running back later in the draft. That's possible. But I think the focus should be defense. Let's go to the re-signed Eagles. I'll just name all four. And if you have any comments, let me know. Landon Dickerson, Brandon Graham,
yes.
Jake Elliott, and Rick Lovato. Rick Lovato, I'll just touch on real quick. An unspoken hero. I don't know, hero might be in a stretch, but you know, when you're talking about the greatness of Jake Elliott and the punting that took place last year with what's that guy that came in? The punter there. God darn it.
I can't remember the punter's name.
The punter that came in from the Jets. I can remember everything but his name. Anyway, he kicked well when he came in. Jake Elliott is like automatic. Rick Lovato is a guy that, you know what? He's part of that whole kicking process. The punt, the kicks, he's got to get, you know, so... That's not – I don't want to ever diminish that type of a signing. So he's been a career Eagle, and he's here for three more years. Jake Elliott, we talked about a second ago. He's the best, if not one of the best kickers in the league. I mean, him and the guy there for the Ravens and the Kansas City guy is really good. Those are probably the top three kickers in the league, but Jake's right there with anybody. Four-year extension for Jake, definitely well-deserved. Brandon Graham coming back for one more year. He's going to retire an Eagle after this year, 15 years in the league. We all love Brandon Graham. And then Landon Dickerson locking him up, a guy who's just an absolute beast at left guard. Four-year contract extension. That was a huge, huge extension in more ways than one. And so those are my takes on those four guys. I don't know if you want to add anything.
Well, so they're all good signings for separate reasons, right? You need BG for the leadership on the defense. You need Landon Dickerson because as the line ages out, he is a young stud and is just a mauler. And if you got Barkley running behind him and Malata on that left side.
I can't wait to those left runs this year.
Right? Pull whoever they stick in at right guard, you just pull him and you add him to Malata and Dickerson, and you're just going to open up a ton of stuff.
Especially if Juergens is able to get down the field and block like Kelsey was. I mean, those runs to the left, how are you going to stop the Eagles?
It's going to be fun to watch. When it comes to Jake Elliott, honestly, in my book, he was the MVP of offense.
He was the Eagles' best player last year on offense. Well, besides AJ Brown, maybe. But other than that, it was really those two.
Jake showed every game, every single game, and just he was just awesome to watch. He has a shot now if they sign him again after this contract is up to go for David Akers.
All-time record. Yeah.
Yep.
And I loved Akers. We both loved Akers too, but Jake is on a trend to be the best Eagles kicker ever.
Yeah, and he's another great find by Howie, right?
Got him from Cincinnati. He was on the practice squad for the Bengals. He plucked him off of there. Yeah.
Lovato, you know, I think that signing is just what Howie learned from Andy Reid. You know, you need your center to be competent Yep. And if that long snap is off, then you don't get field goals and you don't get punts and you get everything else that's important.
And the Eagles, it's almost been like the equivalent of the not that I would ever equate, you know, the long snapper to a quarterback, but it's very similar to the Green Bay Packers, who have gone from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, now to what looks like a pretty good quarterback in Love. And the Eagles, if you remember, the long snapper, I'm going to ask you, I'll put you on the spot. Do you remember who the long snapper was for the Eagles for many years, like 10-plus years for the Eagles before Lovato?
Yeah, the magician.
John Dornbos.
Dornbos. Yeah. Who has the largest calves in the world.
He does.
I'm thinking, like, that dude can lift a house.
Yeah.
Just calf muscles.
Yeah, that's true. He did. So, yeah, the Eagles have had almost, you know, by the time this guy retires, we'll probably have close to 20 years with two long snappers, and two of them have been outstanding.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anybody else? Oh, Braden Mann. There's the guy. Braden Mann. He also signed a four-year extension, so we've locked up our punter, for 4 years. And, got him out of Jets, and he kicked well last year. And they also gave this last name is horrible. I'm just going to call him A.O. Albert Okwubonum. It's my best attempt at that. Is the tight end, and he signed a one-year extension.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's a big dude. I don't know why they didn't throw to him more. He actually played pretty well with the Broncos.
So, Kellen Moore likes to use dual tight ends as well. So we'll see what happens there. But he's, again, that you might see that piece in there revolving back and forth, and that might be the tell. Like when Barkley's out there and they're on downs one and two, you probably have the big tight end in the game. And then when it's third down, you probably get Parker in there in the slot, who can also, he's big, he's a big receiver. He can still block enough to get third short yardage, you know? So,
yeah.
It's so exciting to talk about, because it's like the last 3 years, we've pretty much had, like, you know, Nick Sirianni comes on board. We got Sirianni's offense run by Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon. We're talking about it through the year. We're wondering what to expect. And we go to the Super Bowl. And then we lose both of our OC and our DC. So last year was exciting to just watch this until it all collapsed. And now again, we have another OC and another DC. So it's like, I'm thoroughly entertained before we even get to the season starting, because there's so much stuff that I want to watch from this team. So
yeah, the Eagles know how to stay in the news. That's for sure. They made some big splashes and have been extremely active, and I'm sure they're not done. I'm sure Howie's got some guys he's got his eyes on as their market continues to come down. He might decide to bring him in here. You know, maybe more linebacker depth, cornerback, safety. Remember, we got that guy that they got from the Colts last year, who was off and, you know, off to a great career, but he ended up gambling, or he got caught gambling or something, and got suspended by the NFL for a year. I forget his name, but he's a promising corner, and that's, from what I'm hearing, he's going to probably be the starting slot corner.
Yeah. So him and Tell, and here's a question for you. If you are able to trade up, let's say one of the top two cornerbacks, if they're on the same tier. I haven't done much research yet about the draft.
I haven't either.
One of the top two cornerbacks available, and they're equal, and one of them slides down to the 14 to 15 range, do you package Hassan Reddick up with a draft pick to go get that guy? And I would say yes.
Well, what do they have, like the 22nd pick? They're like in their early 20s, right? Something like that?
Yep, so you'd be moving up seven or eight
slots. Seven slots, packaging Reddick to move up seven? Yeah, probably worth it. You know, especially if he's one of the top corners in the draft. Yeah, probably would be.
And I would do that. And here's why I'm thinking about Howie signing Huff and re-signing Sweat. So you, and having Nolan Smith in the stable there. So I'm like, you do have players that can play. They've proven it a little bit. Smith is the only unproven one. And if you had the opportunity to go get a young stud cornerback.
Yeah.
That first pick.
Which the Eagles desperately need. How long has it been since we drafted a good young? It's been since like Legal Shepherd and Sheldon Brown.
Exactly.
It's been that long. This was like 20-something years ago.
And Slay ain't got much time left, and Bradbury's pretty much already past his prime, but he's going to play because we signed him with so much money.
Yeah.
That's the one deal that, you know,
yeah.
I don't think anybody expected him to fall off a cliff last year.
Yeah, I don't know. We need him to regenerate and find a little bit of youth, you know, because he's going to probably be our starting corner again. I don't know. We'll see. Unless they move him down to slot, I guess it all means to be determined. But right now, it looks like that guy from the Colts is going to be the slot corner. Or they can, of course, the guy that's still out there right now is, I think he is, isn't...
The safety Simpson is available still.
No, not him. Let's talk about the Eagle guy that they didn't that they let go to free agency. I don't think he's signed anywhere yet. The one who was always hurt.
Oh, Maddox.
Yeah, Maddox. I don't know if he's signed anywhere, did he?
I haven't seen that, no.
I haven't either. So I think he's still out there. So let's just talk really quick, and then we'll let you go because I know you got to run. Is the departures. So you got the guys of the Eagles that are no longer Eagles that have signed elsewhere. Kevin Byard signed a 3-year deal with the Bears. Mariota signed with the Commanders for a year. Morrow went with the Bills for a year. Jack Stoll went with the Giants for a year. And DeAndre Swift signed with the Bears for a couple of years. So those are, you want to touch on any of those guys? I mean, for me, the only one I think the Eagles will really miss would be Swift. But then, I don't know if they're going to miss him because they got Barkley. So I don't know if you can really say that, but. I think Swift
will be the best because they're going to run that ball in Chicago until they're, you know, I don't know, until the cows come home. But
Morrow played pretty well last year overall, I thought. He actually played halfway decent for the Eagles. But, you know, with all the changes, I could see why they let him go. Stoll was a guy that would just catch the ball and go down immediately, so I'm not really concerned about him being on the Giants. Mariota, I never liked ever to begin with, so I could care less about him. And Byard's the guy that I probably was wrong about last year. I was really excited when they made that trade to get him, but he never really showed what I was expecting.
Yeah. No, that could have been a result of just the coaching chaos that was going on.
Yeah, it probably was.
And Patricia. So, I don't know. I hope they all do well. You know, actually, you know, I always hope that for the people that leave the Eagles.
I wish them well too. You know, except for Mariota because he's on Washington.
Yeah, I hope he plays a lot.
I do too because I never thought he was good ever. So
no, even in his preseason games, I'm like, God, can't you just make those flat passes accurately? They're like. You got these.
He can't pass. He can't throw the ball. He can run. Terrible. He can make some plays with his feet, but he can't throw. I mean, he's totally inaccurate, which is what I thought before he was an Eagle, and he just confirmed when I saw him play last year.
Yep. He's like Tim Tebow, only probably worse than Tim Tebow.
All right, well, we'll close things up here, unless you got anything you wanted to touch on. We're going to bring you back on, certainly before the draft. For sure. And probably, like I said, I got episode 200 coming up. What I'd like to do, if everything lines up and I have everything ready to rock and roll on YouTube, is my 200th episode might be, if everything works out okay, don't quote me on this, don't hold me to this, live on YouTube. So that would be pretty cool to launch my 200th episode live on YouTube. And again, it will be on all these other platforms too, so don't worry about it being taken off of Spotify or whatever platform you're listening on, folks out there. But if I haven't said this enough, the future of this program and podcast is on YouTube. So you want to make sure, again, that you go on YouTube, search Philadelphia Eagles Talk W/Jeff and subscribe so that you're all ready to go once we do launch, which could be as early as 2 episodes from now if everything works out. So. Matt, any closing thoughts?
No, other than it's W/Jeff.
With a G, E-O-F-F, yeah. I would hope that my audience knows that already, but you're right.
Yes. I believe they do, but I'm like, if anyone's listening for the first time.
You know what? That's a really, I should never assume. You're absolutely right. Thanks for pointing that out.
You might get another Jeff who's maybe lesser, maybe better, but I would guess probably not. But I'm thoroughly excited about this offseason so far. I absolutely give Howie an A+ again. And this is like 2 seasons in a row, 3 seasons since we've been removed from the Wentz contract and all that kind of weirdness that happened to get free from that. So I don't like being just overly praiseful of people, but I think we've been critical of Howie in certain areas, but I just think he's He's definitely listening to the coaches that have come aboard, and he's absolutely gone 180 from what we expected Howie to do, and I love that. So,
Yeah, no doubt that what happened last year might be a blessing in disguise, the epic collapse, because it definitely got Howie to shake things up and from what he normally does, which led to my inaccurate prediction that there was no way Barkley was going to be an Eagle.
I totally agree. I'm like, no, they're going to get somebody. One of these teams is going to sign Jacobs, Barkley, and then we're going to get their cast off, and now he's going to bring that guy on board.
Yeah.
I completely thought the exact same thing.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm not wrong often, but I definitely took my crow for that one because I was way off, and I was basically telling the audience to ignore that garbage and nonsense that they were being fed, just like I did with Bijan Robinson last year in the draft, which I was right about that one, and many other of these clickbait type things that you see on social media. But this one, every once in a while, I'll be way off, and I definitely was. And Howie made the move for Barkley, and he is now an Eagle.
I do have one final thought on the impact it's going to have on the Philly offense. So if Jalen Hurts was under pressure last year, he's on 10 times more pressure this year. If he's reading RPO wrong and doesn't hand off that ball to Barkley, his stud running back, and keeps it himself, like, fans aren't going to be happy with that. If he can't hit Barkley in these flat passes because the screen game is going to come back big time, like, if he's inaccurate with that stuff, like, Hurts, you've got some
running. Yeah, how about some play action, too?
Yeah. Well, I hope. I mean, we've never seen Hurts take the ball from under center unless he's diving forward.
I know. I'd love to see more of that. Some play action, hand off to Barkley, and then go deep.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine the play action? If Hurts can do that, then AJ and Devontae are going to have monster seasons.
I agree. So. I know. Yeah, that's what the promising aspirations happen when you bring a guy like Barkley in. Plus, he's a very good pass protecting running back too. So
yes, he is.
He'll be able to help, give Hurts a little extra time. But yeah, there's two guys that when you make all these moves, that Howie's done. He's done his job. So the pressure is going to be on Hurts and Sirianni next year.
Yep.
And they're going to find the pressure's on them. The bullseye is on both of them more than ever. So. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it. That's it. A couple more weeks till the draft. Yep. It's coming in fast. Like the offseason. It's amazing because football really doesn't have an offseason anymore. It really doesn't. It's maybe a week or two.
Especially this year with the Eagles, all the activity for Eagle fans. It's, haven't even had a breath to take, which is interesting because it does make the time go a little quicker. And the draft is a little over a month away. So, and then they'll be in camps and mini camps and all that. And sure, before you know it, it'll be training camp. So, all right. Well, Matt, again, thanks for jumping on as always, giving us the time. We'll have you on again down the road for sure. Probably not that long down the road.
Yeah,
and at some point, your beautiful face along with mine will be on YouTube.
let the audience touch
them. Exactly. All right. With that said, thanks again for joining and appreciate you giving me the time here. I know it's been 9 days, but we'll try to keep a little bit more up to date as we move forward here on Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. Until then, as always, thanks for listening and fly. Eagles fly. Until next time. Take care, buddy.